Open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 9. I'll give you a hint where it's at. The first book. You might even find it on page 12. Genesis chapter 9. God's covenant with Noah. Starting in the 8th verse. And God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and with and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between you and me and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all of the life on earth. May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, set aside our labor. Let us not think what's going to happen after the service. Let us be focused here now. Let us think about the word, about the message, what you have given through me to be spoken. Let it strengthen us and lift us up, and let it take us from here, preparing us to meet the world as children of the Most High God, as those that were bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I have made it very apparent growing up, if you've known me, that I grew up in a very male-dominant area. It seemed like everybody around me was always telling me what to do, and most of them were men. Every time I looked around, it was either my grandfathers, my uncle, my father, cousins. Somebody always had a hand, in a way of helping me. I meant to say a hand on me. Male dominated. But that's not to say I didn't have a lot of teaching in my life brought to me by the women in my life. And that hasn't stopped neither in my marriage. I'm constantly thinking I know more than her, and I'm constantly surprised when I find out I don't. My grandmothers, my aunts, my mother, all of them around me, all of them saw fit that if they didn't continually handle me and teach me, I'd get too far out of control. And on occasion, I know you're going to have a hard time believing this. On occasion, I can get a little bit out of control. Wendy once told me she saw me get in a fight with a napkin. And in those times when I would get out of control, those who handle me, bringing me back into control, sometimes by more than mild measures, always had a favorite saying, after they got done spanking, helping me. Now then, I used to laugh when I heard that statement because I knew that wasn't the end. I knew that there was something coming in probably an hour that I was going to hear those words again. But my grandparents, everybody around me loves to use that phrase, and you don't hear it anymore unless you grew up in a certain period in time. You don't hear that phrase anymore, do you? Now then, now how many people in this room have used that phrase? Especially after helping somebody back on the path to good. Now then, you get my point? Now then, clean up that mess. Now then, I told you if you did that, you were going to get this. Now then, it's an oxymoron. I know that fancy word. For those of you who don't know what an oxymoron is, it means that when you put two words or several words together that mean completely the opposite. For example, oxymorons, thunderous silence. That's one that always cracks me up. And there was thunderous silence after Paul told his joke. You'd have better laughed at that one. Here's one I get cracked up with when I watch a baseball game. Artificial grass. Artificial grass? Really? Artificial grass, oxymoron. How about this one? This is a good one. Clogged drain. It ain't a drain if it's clogged, is it? My wife uses this one. Cold hot dog. I heard somebody say one the other day, I never felt so alone in a crowd. Really? And my personal favorite, and I want somebody to explain this one to me. This is my favorite oxymoron. I want to know where they came up with this, and I want to see where it came from. Boneless ribs. You think about that one for a minute. I want to see that hog. Must walk around like this. Now then, let's get back to the sermon. It always seems to happen at the end of something big. It always seems to happen at the end of a teaching. It always seems that I would hear that phrase brought to me at the end of something major. I always seem to hear those words, now then. And I never made sense of it. I would hear that and I'd be like, now what? Now then, now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. It was funny listening to her, Linda, speak to the children today because she glossed briefly, quickly over Noah. And I was like, you just think you're funny, don't you? Because I often wait to hear a sign from God if I'm on the right path. And I've heard three things today that led me along the way of this sermon. Now then, let's get to it. The story of Noah has become a children's story. And I love that. I think it was last night, Sonia was walking around with this necklace on. It had an ark. And you pulled a little ark over it. Not so big. You pulled a little ark over. And inside were all the animals. Little teeny tiny things like that. And she was all happy about it. And it was really beautiful. And the ornery side of me wanted to reach underneath and flick it. Just to see the animals come out of the ark. Now then, I didn't do it. It's a children's story, and I love that. And what happens with the story of Noah? It teaches at the very beginning the very basic, bottom line, honest-to-goodness promise that God has given us. It is the beginning. It is the promise that He gave, and it starts children off in the very formation of their mind, that God is always with us, always will be with us. He will never leave us alone, even if we want Him to. Even if we walk away from Him, even if we find ourselves stepping away, He is still there waiting to teach. The problem is, unless you're me, who still is a child, the story of Noah becomes a children's story, and it should not be. It is not just a child's story. It is the basic beginning, brothers and sisters, of the promise of God to you. At the very beginning of the Bible. It's an end cap for a story. It's a story about a father who became incredibly angry and raged in such a manner. We often forget that. Oh yeah, he put all the animals in the ark, two by two. And the jerks start coming after you start making them, right? And I've made a dozen of them. Did he really put mosquitoes on the ark? You've seen the picture, haven't you? With Noah leaning on the bow of the ark like this. And the caption underneath says, "We should never have let them woodpeckers on this boat." We all know the childlike side of the story. God looked around and saw the world was not doing so well and couldn't get them to listen to him anymore. And said, "That's it, I'm going to destroy it all. It's not working. I didn't make a mistake. They did." But he found Noah. He said, "Noah, you're righteous. Build this boat. Build this boat big as a football field, wide, however it needs to be. Bring the animals in, two by two. And then I'm going to take everything else out." We all know what happened. We often forget that the other side of that story is, it had never rained until that point. The water sprang up from the ground. We didn't see rain. We didn't see clouds. Read the Bible. The waters issued up from the ground. That's how we got the rivers and the lakes and everything. But now it's going to rain. And it's going to rain on and on. And God destroyed all life except for Noah and what he took on that boat. See, we often forget that that God of love, the person, I get tired of hearing this, "Ain't no way no God of love is ever going to see to it that you suffer and burn in a lake of fire." Wrong! And you would like me to show you in the Bible where it's very clear about that? He is a God of love, but he is a God that is a father and will discipline accordingly. Take a good look at me. But he loved Noah. And so he puts the boat together, and we forget this, that they spent days upon days. It rained for 40 days just to start with while they sat in the boat. Back in the 70s, there was a programs that used to come out, and they did one in the movie house. The names of the programs was called In Search Of. Anybody remember that? In Search Of. And Leonard Nimoy was always the guy, and we went to the movie house. Dad took us in the 70s to see In Search Of the Ark. Because that looked really cool, and we went in there, and it scared me so bad, I never wanted to get on a boat for the rest of my life. Because it showed the side that we forget, that while Noah sat in there, and God sealed the ark, read your Bible, they were out there, knocking, "Please, please, please, we believe." The Bible says at the end, there will be those who pray for the rocks to fall on them and crush them. He was mad. He looked around at humanity and had become so bad, and he was so angry, yet he still found those to save. And then when we failed, when the promise was broken, when we didn't do what we were supposed to, he wiped it out. And put the boat on the water. We all know what happened next. He sent out the raven. Raven found land because it didn't come back. Sent out the dove. The dove brought back a piece of a twig. Time was closing in. And so now we flip forward a little bit. And here we are in chapter 9. And we're seeing that after they've gotten off the boat. And they've built an altar. And they've prayed to God. And they've promised him that they will always be with him. What do we see? We see God making a promise to Noah that will last for all generations. He's striking a covenant. After the dust has settled, after waters have repealed, after the trouble is over, he's made a promise and looked down at Noah and basically said, "Now then, we're going to do it this way." He made a promise. He talks about a promise. He calls it a covenant. Funny thing about promises, how they get made and how they get met and how they get kept. I promise my wife a lot of things. I promise, dear, I'm not going to bring any more tractors home. I didn't know that was behind me. I promise I'm only going to eat 2 plates at the buffet of dessert. Douglas Moore, writing about Booker T. Washington, describes Booker T. Washington from his book, Up From Slavery, about meeting an ex-slave in Virginia. Booker writes these words, "I found this man had made a contract with his master. 2 or 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation. To the effect that the slave was permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was permitted to go and labor wherever he could find and for whomever he pleased. Finding that he could find better wages in Ohio, he went there and he worked. And when freedom came, he was still in debt to his master to the sum of $300. Now, let's stop here for a second. The Emancipation Proclamation came about, come on, what year? 18? No? 62. $300 in 1862 was an incredible amount of money. Still is to me today. Notwithstanding that the Emancipation Proclamation had freed him from any obligation to his master, had freed him, had said, go on your own way, go do your own thing. You are absolutely free by this government. The black man walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the last dollar he owed with interest in his hands. Booker T. Washington goes on to write, in talking to me about this, the man told me that he knew he did not have to pay back his debt. Didn't matter. Free. But that he had given his word to his master, and his word he had never, ever broken. He felt that he could not enjoy his freedom till he had fulfilled his promise. Promise. The weight of the covenant, the weight of the promise that God makes with Noah is as such as that he gives him a sign. He says, now then, after all this ugliness, after all this thing that has gone on, I give you this sign. I will set my rainbow in the clouds. Go back with me there. Back up into verse 15. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Verse 16, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all creatures of every kind on the earth. God has made a promise to you, the value of which he intends to keep from now until you're called home, from now until each and every one of us meet again in those heavenly shores, and then beyond. Now, then. Now, then. I got thinking about those two words. Now meaning what? Now. I have 9-year-old sons. I had to catch myself for a minute. I was getting ready to say, hey, they turned 9 this past week. At a birthday party, talk about controlled chaos. 9-year-old sons. When they want something, they want it now. And I have to sit them down and teach them, you need to be patient like your father. That definitely wasn't thunderous silence. They want it now. Now means now. Now means right this moment. Now, not then, now. But then means later. in the future, going forward. All these years I've listened to that and even used that phrase and never thought about it. Now then, from this point forward. Two words. Jesus Christ died upon a cross in a very, very ragged manner. He could have as easily come down off that cross and walked away from us. He could have as easily said, I ain't doing this. But he loved us. And after he died, after he went to hell and fought death and won and came back up, Jesus Christ, as easily has often said, now then, believe in me now, and from this point forward, you will be saved. You will be given forever life. You will be given everything. But God gave us the sign, the rainbow. And brothers and sisters, I'm headed for my soapbox with this statement. If you don't like it, tough. The rainbow is God's promise. It is not what it has been perverted into today. We can have diversity. But the rainbow was the promise of God to you and me that He would never again destroy the earth with a flood. I get very aggravated when I see the rainbow used for a lot of things that give it a very nasty meaning. And I don't guess I need to get too far deep into that, do I? He gave us a symbol. And we are misusing it. He gave us now then, and we're still stuck in before that. We need to remember that the promise God made will never ever be taken from us, no matter what. No matter how dumb you act, no matter how far off base you can get, He still waits there the minute you wake up and return to Him. And I can feel His arms wrap around me like my own father did, like I do to my children, like a mother would do. Hold them close and go, now then, stay with me, please. From here until the future. In the modern times, we define a host of relations by contracts. In the business I work in, only word I ever hear is contract, contract this. According to the contract, we got to bid a new contract. Contract, contract, contract. And they're usually for goods and services or for hard cash. The contract, formal or informal, helps to specify failure in these relationships. The Lord did not establish a contract. He created a covenant, and there is a difference. Contracts are broken when one of the parties fails to keep his promise. For example, if a patient fails to keep an appointment with a doctor, the doctor is not obligated to call the house and ask, why didn't you come in today? He simply goes to the next patient, has the appointment secretary take note of that who failed the appointment, and as we all know, in doctor's offices, you get what? Charged! That's a contract. The patient may find it harder the next time to see the doctor. But according to the Bible, the Lord asks, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Isaiah 49, verse 15. The Bible indicates the covenant is more like the ties of a parent to her child than it is to a doctor's appointment. If a child fails to show up for dinner, the parent's obligation, unlike the doctor's, is not canceled. Can I just tell you how many times as a child I would be outside playing and my mother would come to the back porch and go, time for dinner, and I wouldn't show up. And she would come looking for me. Usually not in the best of moods. And there would be a moment where afterwards it would be, now then, get in there and wash them hands and sit at that table. But she was obligated. She was obligated to make sure that child is loved and cared for. One member's failure does not destroy the relationship in a covenant. A covenant puts no conditions on faithfulness. It is unconditional commitment to love and serve. God didn't ask us for one. He gave us one. Well, He gave us more than one. When we sit down at the love feast, when we stand up here and we've got the bread and cup, we are remembering the covenant that Jesus Christ made. I love you. I died for you. I'll always be there for you. Now then, come to me now so that you will be loved to the future. God said the same thing to Noah. Now then, I put my rainbow out. I had the opportunity last year, and I'm putting her upset the truck looking at it, to see a triple rainbow. Never seen one in my life. Anybody else ever seen one? That's fantastic, isn't it? Don't you almost start crying? I've seen double rainbows. Saw a rainbow one time. Saw the other end of it. Actually drove to where the other end of the rainbow looked like it was. Turns out it was down at my shop. There ain't no gold there. But I remember that. I think about that, and I think about the promise. I think about when I see the rainbow used in the back window of a car to describe how we should accept things that are against the teachings of Jesus Christ. I remember how sad He must be for what He has created has been perverted. But then when you see it in all its splendor laid out in those clouds, touching down, sun on this side, clouds and rain on this side, and you see those beautiful colors, you think about it, don't you? Oh, I know, science has explained it. It's a prism, light reflecting through the raindrop as it comes through, causes the colors and bounces off and displays that, and that's all well and good, but there were no clouds and there was no rain until God said it. Amen. Amen. Now then, as we part from here, as we leave, let us not forget that promise. Let us share it with those who are lost. To be in that upholding manner. God looked at you through Jesus Christ, His Son, and said, now then, I've broken you. I'll protect you. I'll keep you with me for all eternity. It's a good place to be, isn't it? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now then, keep us close. Hold us tight. I'd like to see more rainbows. It is our hope, Father, that every day we can wake up and live for You. It is the reality that every day we fail You. Yet Your promise, Your covenant stays strong. And when we get too far away, we can feel You pull us back, hold us close. I would even like to think that in our each own personal moments, we look into Your face for a moment, the face of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and hear the words, now then, let me make you better. As we depart from here today, Father, watch over and keep us. Lead us in the Spirit that would be ever mindful of those teachings. Let us walk from here today reminded of the children's story that teaches the first promise, a covenant, an unending love for Your creation, us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have that particular need, as we prepare for this last hymn, I invite you to come forward. If you do not know Jesus Christ the way that I know Him, come up and let us pray.
Please stand and turn to page 617.
our system. I pray that she is able to rest and be calm and receive the terrible, terrible news. Pray for the family. Each of you who have gathered here today, I ask for the blessings of heaven upon you. May your feet be made straight on the path this week. May you be lifted up in time of trouble, and may you look for him whenever you find fear. Be joyful unto him who saved you. And if we can meet again next Sunday, we'll be blessed. If not, I pray we see each other again in that great and glorious city. Now, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen.